strengthen your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. Let's hold up our Bibles and jump right into the word today. This is what we say every week. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. 7 weeks ago, I started a series entitled Prepare for Battle. It's a study through the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, on the armor of God. And what I did every week so far is I've gone back into Ephesians, and I've covered one truth from each previous chapter, chapters 1 through 5. Chapter 1, I talked to you about how highly favored of God that you are. If you're not sure or you ever doubt yourself, I want you to go back, Ephesians 1, verse 6, and go read it. You're going to read it and not really understand it because that word's kind of hidden, but I want you to understand. When you read it, it says that you are highly favored of God. Chapter 2, I reinforce the fact that we're saved by grace through faith. Here's why, in Ephesians 2, 4, because of His great love for us. How many of you ever felt in your lives that you were not loved by people around you? So like three people, and the rest of y'all are just so confident, so secure. Now, we've all felt unloved at times. I want you to know, if you've ever felt unloved, I want you to get this truth in your head. As a child of God, you've never gone one moment of one day ever in your walk with God that you were unloved. Not ever. Not one time ever in your existence as a child of God did God go, you know, I don't really love you today. I mean, your wife might say that. Your husband might say that. Your kids will definitely say that when they get to be teenagers. But not God. Chapter 3, I talked about the fact that you're chosen and accepted. And He didn't just choose you as a consolation prize, He chose you first. Chapter 4, I talked about the fact that God created us, the church, to be a united group of people, a unified church. And then I honestly believe this, that if we, the church, will become unified, not just our church, but the church as a whole, as an organism, if we'll become unified, I believe that we'll see and experience a move of God that we've yet to see and experience in our lifetime. And in chapter 5, talked about living wisely and how when we decide to live wisely, not as unwise, we decide to live by God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom, we get to experience and live in the will of God for our lives. Remember I told you what the will of God is? Good, pleasing, perfect, right? That's good stuff. Listen, I don't know about you, but I love the sound of that. Good, pleasing, perfect. I want it all. And anything else you have. Amen. So here we are, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, I just love that word. And I love that word because it reminded me to go back. And that's why we covered those other five chapters previously in those last several weeks, because I wanted to talk about all the things that God has already done. I cannot get you to or motivate you or coerce you into receiving and believing what God has for you now until you believe and receive what God already did for you. Amen? Week one of the series, I preached about walking in our new identity, standing strong, don't quit. Week two, the belt of truth. We put on the belt of truth. It gives us balance. It gives us assurance. It gives us security. Week number three, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, protecting the fact. Here's the thing. Protecting the fact that you are right before God, not because of anything you've done or didn't do, but simply because of what Jesus did on your behalf. And we put that breastplate in place to protect that fact, because the enemy will constantly try to attack that fact. And if he can get you to doubt, he's got you. Week number four, I talked about the gospel of peace. Isn't it funny that we fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? And I believe we put the gospel of peace on our feet because we take it with us wherever we go. Remember, I told you, we want to leave something behind everywhere we go. And we don't want to leave chaos. We don't want to leave agitation. What we want to leave is peace. When you leave somebody's presence, they should say, man, I just love when they're around. They just always leave me peaceful. You don't want to leave a situation where people go, I'm glad they're gone. Because when they're around, I ain't feeling too much peace. Not people from this church, but. Week number five, I talked about the shield of faith. We take up the shield of faith. We use it to defend ourselves against the fiery darts of the enemy. And in week number six, the helmet of salvation, we put that on. And I reminded you, and I'll remind you again, Jesus is the only way to God, right? He's the only way to heaven. He is the only way. There is no other way. I don't care what Oprah said. Remember this, your past cannot disqualify you. Anybody got a past? Hey, listen, I want you to get your head around this. Even if your past, the bad stuff, was yesterday, this morning, right before you walked in the door, it can't disqualify you from a relationship with Jesus. And then finally, listen to me, child of God, your future is secure. Today, we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start reading. Here it is, Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, what I found interesting about the sword of the Spirit, unlike all the other pieces of the armor, is this is the only piece we have that's an offensive weapon. All the other ones are to defend us from the enemy's attacks, but this one God puts in our hands to attack him. Not God, but the enemy. Or anything else that comes against us. Amen? Amen? The sword of the Spirit. Let me jump right into the lesson today. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, it becomes an effective weapon in our lives when we first, number one, above all things, when we believe it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Look what it says. And this is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, and we also thank God continually because, look at the words, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, this is what you do. You accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God. What do we say every week? This is the word of God, right? Which is indeed at work in you who do what? Very good. You accepted it because you believed it, and because you believed it, it comes alive in your life. It is at work in you and in your life and in your circumstances when you believe it. You know that the Word of God, the Bible, it is only a book until you believe it. How many of you ever had a Bible long before you got saved? Probably sat on a coffee table collecting dust, sat on a bookshelf somewhere in your house. Parents had that big white one, you know, that sat on a bookshelf. Nobody ever opened it. Nobody ever touched it. And you know what? It was just another book until we believed it. And when we believed it, it began to change. It took life. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Jesus had just been walking along with his disciples, and he went to go look for some figs. He was hungry. Figs on a little fig tree, and there were no figs. And so Jesus cursed the tree, and the tree died. And his disciples were puzzled. Man, how did he do that? That's pretty cool, you know? And Jesus said, truly I tell you, disciples, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. In verse 22, he said, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you've asked for in prayer. Listen, Jesus himself said belief activates the power of the word in your life. So far, every one of the pieces of armor that I've talked about has something to do with believing. You got to believe it in order to receive it. You got to believe it in order to have it. I want you to know the Bible sat on my coffee table and I didn't believe it. And therefore, none of the promises, none of the 7,200 promises that were in it came alive in my life because it just was another book. Until I began to believe what it said. And Kevin, you said something that I've been saying for years. I'm just dumb enough to believe God and take him at his word. And because I believe God, I get to see and witness and be a part of God kinds of things in my life. And people say, I want your life. No, you don't, because you ain't willing to live my life. You ain't willing to believe the way I believe you. And if you just would believe the way I believe, I promise you, you'll see things and experience things in your life that you've never dreamed of. That is why we make this Bible proclamation every week. I want you to get the idea that the Bible is living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and that if I believe it, I activate the power of it in my life. Believe it. Number two, the sword of the Spirit becomes an effective weapon when we speak it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Now, let me tell you what's happening in Joshua chapter 1. Moses had just died. The children of Israel are right on the bank of the Jordan River, across the river from the Promised Land. They made a 40-year journey. Here we are. We're at the bank of the river. The river's flooded. It's raging. And there it is. There's the promise. I could see it. It takes, the promises of God are right on the other side. And what does God say do? Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and have great success. Meditate. So many people see the word meditate and they get messed up because we think meditate means to think about. I'm going to think about it really hard. Meditate. The word meditate in the Hebrew language is the word hagah, and it means to murmur or to speak under your breath. So what God was telling Joshua, and he's telling the children of Israel, and he's telling us, is keep it on your lips. Meditate on it. In other words, speak it throughout the day. Whatever it is that you're encountering, say it. Say, you know, God, the doctor told me I got this disease, but you know what? By your stripes, I'm healed. God, I'm just going to believe. By your stripes, I'm healed. I know what he said, but I know what you said. And what you said is greater than what he said. That's how we keep the word of God. We murmur it. So I think murmuring is something you ever say something under your breath as you're leaving a room from your mom and daddy? What did you say? That's not what we're talking about. What, you want to say that again and louder so I can knock it off your... Yeah, I will knock you, you know. No, God says, no, speak it. Speak it back to me. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. By the way, Kevin and Carla, that song we just sang, Seth talked about his words like a fire. Look what it says right here. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Our continual speaking the word over our lives and over our situations releases power over whatever it is that you face. The word of God carries great power in it and authority. And when you speak it from the place of believing it, you release the same power and authority over whatever situation that you're in. Let me just tell you. This is not the response. Here's some bad news, whoever you are, right? Here's some bad news. Oh, no, what am I going to do? That's not the response. Here's some bad news. In the name of Jesus, I tell you, bad news to bow at that, right? Now, see, we go, oh, no, oh, gee, what am I going to do? Huh. We that's got to be our first response, not a last response, right? You don't get to that later in the day. You don't get to that tomorrow. You get to that first. You let whatever it is you're facing bow to the name of Jesus. I think we just heard that, right? Now, what God's telling Joshua and the people of Israel as they attempt to cross the promised land, we have to understand the promised land was not just an empty land full of all kinds of great things. So they, God gave them a promise in Exodus chapter 6, I believe, about, hey, or in Deuteronomy, anyway, I think it's in Deuteronomy 6. He said, in the promised land, when you get there, you're going to have all kinds of good things that you didn't do anything to get. Houses you didn't build, and olive groves, and vineyards, and people's stuff in their houses, all for you. I want you to get, there were people in those houses. There was a battle that they had to face in the, you see what I'm saying? There's a battle in the promised land, and as they began to speak the word, as they walked into the battle, they didn't just go, I'm going to speak the word from over here, and hopefully I'll take care of what's over there. No, you got to cross the river. You got to confront what's in front of you so that you can win the battle and take what rightfully belongs to you. So often we want God's promises without the fight. God, could you just do something without me having to actually struggle to get it? I don't want to get my hands dirty. You know, I wish it worked like that all the time, you know, and it doesn't. Sometimes we got to get dirty with God, right? We go with God into the battle, speaking his word over the battle so we can have victory in the battle. Amen? And also remember this, as we speak the word, it gives life to those who hear it. So not only now am I affected by saying it out loud, but the people around me are affected. You hear what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. So Ezekiel is told by God to go into this valley. And in this valley, there are bones from an army that had been defeated, bones of people that are just... They're down, and there's no flesh on the bones. The flesh is gone. There's just piles of bones in pieces, like bodies in pieces, all in this valley. In verse 4, in Ezekiel 37, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, as I was speaking, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Can you imagine that scene? Ezekiel speaking the word, and these bones, like this guy's thigh bone was over here and his foot bone was over there, and all of a sudden whoa, they come. He had to be like, whoa, check this out. And he keeps on prophesying. Listen to what happened. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, prophesy. Speak the word of God over the situation and watch what happens. And this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I don't know what is dead in your life. I don't know what you think is checked out, is finished, it's done. You put it on a shelf. You said it's over. Johnny, that one's finished. Let's put it away. Let's move on to something else, because we surely ain't going to get no life out of that one. And maybe God is saying to you right now, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's an old friendship, maybe it's a job, maybe you're like ready to leave your job because you just had enough. You're like, I'm tired of those people, I'm tired of their goofiness, I'm tired of all their craziness, and I'm just ready to leave and go do something new. And God said, how about you prophesy? How about, you say, well, I'm not a prophet. Really? If the word of God is in you, and you can speak it, you're a prophet. Prophesy to whatever it is that needs prophesying. You think your marriage is dead? We're just going to stay together till the kids get older, and then we'll go ahead and get a divorce. How about you just quit giving up and start prophesying what you want to happen over it? Instead of giving up, how about start going up, huh? How about that? How about prophesy over your jobs? Prophesy and speak the word of God over your circumstances and watch your circumstances come to life. You got to speak it. Number three, you got to pray it. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. He said, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word. This is God speaking through Isaiah. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God spoke his word, right? We got the word. It's called the Bible. And when we pray it back to him, he says, when you pray it back to me, when you speak it back to me, guess what happens? It doesn't return to me without accomplishing that which I set out for it to accomplish. Prayer is a powerful tool that God's given us to communicate with him and to see and unlock the truth and the authority and the effectiveness of the word of God. We believe it, we speak it, we pray it. I want you to know there's no greater prayer than the prayer prayed of God's word. I want you to know when you pray God's word, you're praying his promises back to him. And when you pray his promises back to him, you release the power of the promise over your situation. Remember, God spoke and the world came to be, right? Let there be. Boom, there was. Now, we make light of that, and we say that so flippantly. Oh, God spoke and there was. Let there be light and there was. I want you to get the picture. There was nothing. God didn't create from something. He created from nothing. And he says to us, you can create from something that I already spoke into existence if you just speak over it. We can pray our way. Oh, God, please help me. Or we can speak with the authority that we've been given. See, the Bible says we can come into the throne room confidently, boldly come into the, God, excuse me, I need a meeting with you, Lord. And we got to chat. Can we chat? Lord, you're the king of the universe, but Lord, you said you split the curtain so that I may come in to the most holy place. And I need a meeting with the king of kings right now. Because I got a matter I need you to intervene in. This is what most of us do. I got a matter I need the Lord to intervene in, but he ain't doing nothing. I wish he would. I mean, his word says he would, but I mean, I don't believe it because, I mean, I ain't never seen it. Hang up the dumb phone and get on the right phone and make your plea to the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. Pray it. And lastly, we can't leave without this one. We got to obey it. Oh, we would all love if God would just do what you got to do. Don't make me do anything. And it would just be nice, wouldn't it, Tony? I'm just going to sit here and just enjoy the ride, Jesus. Thank you. James 1:22. I love James. Don't you love James? I love the book of James because James is like in your face. Listen up, dummy. This is what he says. In verse 22 of chapter 1, do not merely listen, dummy, to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after he goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. You forgot you ugly. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, look at the words, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Coming to church, listening to the word of God, leaving and not obeying is just like looking at your face in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. And then we will all complain when Jesus doesn't show up and do what his word says he'll do. I've asked many people through the years when they come and complain about God, you know. Well, God didn't do what he said he would do. And why would God allow this? Or why did God cause this? And I always say, well, let me ask you a question. When's the last thing you heard God say to you? And they say whatever it is. Well, I said, well, are you doing it? Well, no, I did it for a little while, and it didn't work, so I quit. And now we're blaming God because we don't have what we've been asking for. He said, if you continue in it, you'll be blessed in what you do. Coming to church and listening is leaving and not doing what he said is exactly what James is talking about. We often wonder why we aren't living in the abundant life that Jesus paid for. And I got to ask you, are you doing what abundant life people do? I bet many times if you took a survey of people complaining about God and what God didn't do in their lives or for them, are the ones who hear the word and don't do what it says and then blame God for it. Well, I heard God say I ought to do this. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. This doesn't fit me. That doesn't work. I don't really have that gift. I didn't hear God call me to that. If you heard God say do it, he called you to do it. And now it's up to you to do it in order to receive it. And we show that scene. I know we're a little bit over, but let me show this scene.
Face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
If you know what you're worth, quit pointing your finger at God or anybody else because you're not where you want to be and just do what God asks you to do. And if you're just, listen, it's simple. What did Kevin say? I'm just dumb enough to believe God. I just do what he says. You know what? I do what he says and I get what he gets. You do what you want, you get what you get. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes you can make a great life for yourself outside of the will of God. But one day, listen to what I'm telling you, one day, and your day will come. One day you're going to need God. You're going to need God to show up. And let me tell you, you're going to go back to that blaming God. I'm not where I am because of you or because of you or because of you. And God says, time to quit blaming me and just start following me. If you just do what I say, I promise you, you'll be blessed, according to James, you'll be blessed in what you do. Do you know that our obedience to the word of God brings about an effectiveness in our lives and through our lives that we can't really comprehend or understand? Simple obedience. Hey, why, Eddie, why are you doing that? God said to do it. I don't understand. I know. And you won't until you walk in my shoes, until you've been in my conversation. See, most people hadn't been in your prayer life, hadn't been in your prayer room. They don't know what God's spoken to you. Why are we walking through this? This is hard. Because God said, go through it. You know, there was a time in the first king of Israel, Saul, was asked to go and destroy a group of people called the Amalekites. And he was said, God told him, don't take anything. You destroy everything. Well, Saul goes in and he sees all this good stuff, these cattle and sheep and all this stuff. And so they wipe out all the people except for the king, Agag, and some stuff, you know, some sheep and goats and things. And they take all the stuff. And Saul thinks he's doing good because, hey, look. And when he's confronted by Samuel, the prophet, he says, hey, look. I saved all the sheep to sacrifice to God. But the question is, Saul, is that what God told you to do? This is what Samuel tells Saul. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? He said to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. In other words, I don't want you to sacrifice. I don't want you to perform religious rituals in order to try to get close to me. I want you to just do what I said. It's simple. Just do what he asks, and you'll be blessed. Would you stand with me? The word, the sword of the Spirit, becomes an effective weapon when we believe it, when we speak it, when we pray it, and when we obey it. Today, this is the rubber meets the road. This is the practical. If I just do what he said, if I just do it like he said, how he said, when he said, I'll be blessed. If that's you, I want to invite you. Say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to do it my way. If that's you, I want you to just come and join me at the altar. And I'm going to pray for you as you begin to believe it and speak it and pray it and obey it. And as you begin to do those things in your life, I believe you're going to see and experience a move of God in your own life that you've yet to experience in this time. I promise you. Lord, this, I was reading this morning, God, in my own time, in Proverbs chapter 16, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your plans to the Lord. He said, commit your way and your plans will succeed. God, I know that every one of us has ideas. Every one of us has plans and things that we want to see and accomplish in this world and in this life. My prayer for the people of God here at the altar today, those watching us online, God, is that first, we believe what your word says. We believe it is the unadulterated, inerrant, infallible word of God, and we trust it wholeheartedly. God, we will begin to speak it as you told Joshua. Keep it on your lips. Murmur about it. Say it under your breath throughout your day into every situation that you face. Pray it. Send the word back to heaven. And as it goes, it is going to carry out the purpose for which God sent it. And finally, God, we're going to obey it. The simple faith of just doing what you said. God, I believe there's an effectiveness that will happen in our lives when we just do what you said. So we thank you for your promises. Thank you for the sword of the Spirit. As we prepare and continue to do battle with you, we love you. We give you praise and thanksgiving for all that you've been doing. We ask you to walk with us as we go. God, we are wielding the word of God today in every situation we face, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget.